feel people are disconnected from their emotions because it requires patience. It requires wanting to deeply understand someone. Mm-hmm. And if we don't deeply understand ourselves first, it's going to be really, really challenging to then
welcome to
do
the
that for others.
Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage, and my fellow ecstatics, you know, it always feels like there's a small pond of men out there, and particularly the ones that are like, we really want, like, let's get real, right? The ones that we feel like are available to us in our femme power and the fullness of who we truly are in our authentic selves. And this is really understanding how to attract those men that are emotionally available and perhaps repel those men that are not. And we're going to have such a delicious conversation today with my wonderful guest, Mary Mack, who is an intuitive healer and a feminine energy coach with a passion for guiding high-achieving women towards breaking free from their own limitations and fully embracing their true essence. Perfect, perfect guest for us here. Mary, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Alara. I am so excited for this conversation.
So, yeah, where did you first experience maybe this conversation of emotionally available men?
Yeah, so I got to a point in my life where I felt like I was attracting all the wrong kinds of men. And it led me to thinking, okay, well, what the heck is wrong with me? Mm. And, you know, for people listening, if you're single and if you ever had that thought, what is wrong with me? Mm. It can be very eye-opening in a sense. And to the point where I started to say, okay, there has to be a theme. And I'm looking at the kinds of men that I'm attracting, guys that would say, oh, you're too much, or I would think everything was great, and then all of a sudden they would ghost me. So it got to this point in my life where I was just not attracting good quality men, and I didn't even really understand what emotionally available men was or what emotionally unavailable men were, and that's what I was attracting. And so it led me down this journey where I realized that, and this is also how I guide and I teach my clients, is the types of men that we attract in our lives and the types of men that we're willing to accept is a direct reflection of ourselves. And that led me to this place of, oh my God, I'm emotionally unavailable. I am so scared of my emotions, and especially around men, which I'm sure we'll dive into, which stems from childhood. But even just at that season of my life, even if I was around my dad and I felt myself getting emotional, I would bite my tongue so I wouldn't cry, because I thought emotions and expressing that was weak. So it all started, Alara, from that season of my life.
I love that so much. And I really hope the audience really heard you say, you know, in the awareness of self, right? That, like, wait a second, there's a pattern here. Like, this keeps happening. So what am I putting out? What is that vibration? Yes. What are those belief structures? What are those trauma? Whatever it is. And, you know, it's so beautiful when we have that awareness, because some people say, like, oh, you know, like, it's all about, like, our faults or our, you know, traumas. But really, when we have self-awareness, it's about empowerment.
Yeah.
Because if we're just thinking the issues are the men, where is our power in that perspective?
Yes.
Right? Then you're just like, there's no good men out there. Gee, bummer me. Right? Whereas if you say, oh, I'm the one attracting these particular men. Therefore, I get to change something in myself and attract the men I really want. Now you're in your power, right?
Yes, exactly. It's so empowering because that version of Mary, I didn't trust men. I was so scared of men. And it so, of course, it was, I was going to, that was going to be mirrored back to me. And I had a deep, deep, deep belief that there wasn't any good men out there. And why would they, if there is, why would they even want me? That was playing really deep in my subconscious.
I love how you sell that version of Mary, because it is, it's like we have version one, version two, like we keep upgrading, up leveling and getting better, you know, truly. So kind of taking it back, why do you think there are emotionally unavailable people, including ourselves? What creates that?
Yeah, that's a really beautiful question, Alara. We as a society, we have never really been taught how to navigate our emotions. And if you think about it, it's, you know, look at a great way is to also look at, because we are, it's passed down from us. So if you feel like, okay, I'm attracting emotionally unavailable men, or, you know, I know I have some walls around my heart, look at how your parents were with your emotions. And, you know, if your parents weren't in your life, you're your main caregiver and provider, and it goes back from generations. So to their parents and then their parents' parents. And so I believe a lot of us are emotionally unavailable because we really aren't taught how to just take a moment and to sit with our emotions and to understand that, okay, it's okay to feel how you're feeling, but let's also, then it goes into communication. Then let's also make sure we're communicating this. And a lot of people, they don't know how to communicate when their emotions are coming up. So they shove them down and they suppress them. And then oftentimes that comes when something, they have to come out. It's like if you're trying to push a pool floaty underwater and you keep pushing and pushing and pushing it down, it's just going to have to keep coming up. And for me, that looked like I would have these outbursts. I would burn bridges, whether it was with opportunities, with people, and it was all a form of self-sabotage. But it was because I was so disconnected from my emotions. And the last thing I'll share, Laura, to answer your question, also, I feel people are disconnected from their emotions because it requires patience. It requires wanting to deeply understand someone. And if we don't deeply understand ourselves first, it's going to be really, really challenging to then do that for others, but then also have the patience while they're figuring out their emotions and managing them.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful point, the patience, and particularly when other people are in their emotions, not taking it personal, right? Holding that space. I'm teaching my 11-year-old this right now because he tends to be very, very deity, like positive energy, and he blows through his own internal flags. And then what happens, like, for instance, he was leaving for a week to go to Washington, D.C. with his school, like no parents, right? Like big deal for an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And I could feel it coming on. He was just, oh, so happy and everything. And I was like, okay. And then pretty soon it's like blow up and it's all about his brother and he's pointing the finger and it's about Legos. And I said, Willie, sweetheart, this isn't about Legos, you know, like, because we were talking at first. I just like, tell me what's going on, like Legos, and it was all like superficial and I couldn't feel any depth to what he was saying. And I said, this isn't about Legos. This is about the fact that you're leaving tomorrow. And oh, my God, he just like exploded. And it, he was like, after he came down, he said, yeah, that's exactly actually what it was about, you know? And, you know, we weren't, I definitely wasn't taught that. It was like, if you're being cranky or, you know, whatever, like moody or whatever, it's like you just get told off for having those emotions as a kid. And so I learned to, like what you were saying, like bite my tongue, hide my emotions, or I would just go off. And so I learned anytime I had emotions that I had to remove myself.
Yeah.
from the circumstance because I couldn't be in this with other people like that. That wasn't okay. So I want to go like with your father, because I feel like when we're dealing with men and relationships, our relationship to our father is a big deal, right? So can you tell us a little bit about that biting your tongue and how that showed up for you as a kid and how you think that came into your attempts to find a emotionally available man?
Yes. Yeah. And I love this. So it's so important if you're a woman and you're out dating, or even if you're in a relationship right now, to understand what the relationship was with your father, or even if your dad wasn't in your life, whoever took on that father figure, so to speak, and look at it from, this can be triggering for some women. So, you know, to think about their dad, and I would offer up as this is an opportunity to just be an observer, because a lot of this work does require forgiveness. And so when I observe, okay, well, when I was a kid, if my sister and I, we got along really great and we'd get super crazy and laugh and just be running around the house and have so much joy, my dad would yell at us and tell us to calm down, and we would be told to go to our room. So if we were super happy and expressive, we got punished. And then also it was the same thing if I was upset about something. I remember my dad saying, well, just get over it. And if I couldn't get over it, if I was really upset, again, I'd be told, go to your room and be punished. And now I look at this from the lens of understanding, because my dad was a single dad working a full-time job with four kids, and that is a lot. So I can look at it from the lens of responsibility, but also this is why it's so important to just understand, because now I made, for that season of Mary, it made sense, because I'm like, oh my gosh, of course I hide my emotions, because I, from the time I was a kid, learned that whether I express happiness or joy, or if I express anger or sadness, I get punished. So that was the relationship that was ingrained in me as a kid, just given the circumstances with my dad.
So powerful, right? That it was both super happy or upset, angry, whatever, that both of those were, you know, squashed. And it's such a beautiful level of awareness. And so just to help the audience in crystal clarity from that version of you, and the walls that you built around because you didn't feel safe in your expression of your emotions, can you explain how that translated to attracting emotionally unavailable men?
Yes. Yeah. So I would attract, it translates into attracting emotionally unavailable men, because the men that I was attracting were a mirror of what I knew, what was familiar. So to me, I grew up familiar with an emotionally unavailable dad who was very set in his way. It was his way or the highway, so to speak. And so that is what I knew as a child. And so I'm now dating from this inner child, this subconscious lens of saying, okay, well, a normal man behaves this way, where they really are not caring for me for the way that they should care and love and show respect. And so understanding that when you are out dating, until we really heal and until we really become aware of these patterns, it's going to show up. So even when when I'm still realizing, okay, I am shut off from my emotions, I would then also attract men to validate, yeah, see, it's not safe for me to open up or be vulnerable and share, because look, if I open up and be vulnerable and share, this was a belief that I had in my subconscious that men will leave me. And so then I attracted that. So it's really important to look at what are the types of men that you're attracting and ask yourself, okay, well, what could this be reflecting internally about me, and why am I attracting to this? What are my beliefs? Because the next stage is to then, you know, which I'm sure we'll talk about, heal and understand what is a secure relationship and what you should be looking for. But yeah, it was definitely attracting a lot of men who would mirror these beliefs of, see, you're not good enough. Men don't want you. It's not safe to be vulnerable.
Yeah, it's so incredible, isn't it? Because we have for most families, we have the mother and the father. But regardless of what that looked like for the audience members, you know, if you had just one parent, they have to play some level of both roles,
yes,
of mother and father. And
yes,
you know, if it's a man, he may not play the feminine all that well. If it's a mother, she may not be able to play the. It doesn't. You know, they're not going to be able to play both to the full expression of it. So regardless of whether, you know, you had a mother and a father or you had just one, you know, it's so interesting how we say, okay, this is what the feminine is and this is what the masculine is based off of. This is my mother and that's the feminine. This is my father and that's the masculine. And we get so programmed into understanding that that's, or believing, I should say, that that's what that is. And I find that people either attract that level of comfort, like they say. I mean, they literally say you marry your father. I mean, that's a heavy statement.
Yeah.
Or people tend to do the opposite.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
If like whatever their father was, they'll be like, I don't want that. And so they'll look for subconsciously, like whatever the opposite of that, yes, is. And so, yes, the awareness is so powerful. And just diving into that a little bit, how do you suggest, like, how do you start with that awareness of the father and what we're attracting in a relationship?
Yes. And I love how you put that alert, because that's exactly how I say it. I always say the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. So you either go with what's familiar, or we tend to rebel and do the complete opposite. And so one of the things, at least for me, and this will tie into your question, is I really realized at a moment, okay, I had to bring myself back to that little girl, that little version of Mary, because I'm sure your listeners know this, but from the time that we are in our mom's womb until we're about 7 years old, our subconscious is wide open. So, and as kids, we're making everything mean something. So because my dad was a busy, busy guy, and I was the youngest out of four kids, I made that mean that I wasn't worthy, because my dad didn't have enough time to spend and care for me. And as a child, we need our basic needs met. And if they're not being met, then we're going to make it mean something about us. So I made it mean, okay, that I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. And so this is the mindfuck here, LR, how this pattern really plays out in your adult life. Because then I had a realization, oh my God, I am trying to, these guys, these men who are mirroring my dad or mirroring this emotionally, they're emotionally unavailable. I deep down am saying, okay, well, I need to fix them. I need to change them. Because if I change them, if I fix them, if I get them to love me and like me, then that means I am good enough. And that will validate that, see, I am worthy. And that was my biggest wound. My biggest wound was I didn't believe that I was worthy. So to tie this in with your question, is starting to become aware of whatever it is that you're seeking in a man or a woman, right? What a partner, whatever you're looking for, whatever you're seeking in a partner so deeply, and you're desiring, asking yourself, okay, well, where am I giving that to myself? Because whatever we're looking for externally, we will never attract if we haven't internally given it and filled it up to ourselves. So a big part of my journey was really letting go of these self-sabotaging beliefs and then having to anchor in beliefs around I am worthy, I am good enough just because I exist. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, and I love your share there, right, of the self-awareness that because you were the youngest, you probably got very little attention and focus. And we do, as little kids, believe, oh, there must be something wrong with me. I'm not lovable. I'm not worthy. And then that beautiful realization that, oh, if you could just fix a man, that then he would love you and see you and all that would happen. Then it was like he would, oh, now I'm valuable. Now I'm worthy. Such a beautiful awareness. And I just wanted to point that out to the audience, because that's like the mastery of being able to really see ourselves and the depth of how that really plays out. Like you said, the mind fucks, right? Because it is. And then, you know, it's very painful.
Yeah.
When, like, it's not showing up, right, for whatever reason, because the man is emotionally unavailable and he doesn't want to be fixed and all the things. And, like, then it's like, oh, my gosh, now that wound is getting poked even harder, right, because I can't get it done, right? I can't heal the man and he doesn't see me and all the things. And then it's like trauma, trauma, trauma. So how did you go about, you kind of answered it there already, but I just want to kind of go a little bit deeper in what did you do to heal that for yourself, to shift this?
Yeah. So I had to get really crystal clear around how I can love myself better. And I had a mentor tell me, well, you really need to work on self-love, Mary. And I got angry at her. I said, I do love myself. But what I didn't realize at the time is we, you know, like you said, to go a layer deeper and to really deepen, we are always getting, growing stronger and connecting with ourselves more. And so loving myself was such a big piece of that, of the puzzle in this journey. Was, okay, how can I, what are areas of growth? Where do I not feel comfortable? Well, at that season of my life, I didn't feel comfortable in my body. I didn't feel comfortable with attention. I put on this persona of I'm this nice girl. I'm this happy, always positive girl, because to me, that then kept me safe, quote unquote. It didn't keep me safe, but because it was holding me back, and it led me to being this people pleaser. So I had to get really crystal clear and ask myself, well, who is the woman that I want to be? I want to be a woman who is strong and powerful and confident, who will tell you how it is, but also is this soft and nurturing and open. So it really, how I started to then heal now with the self-awareness was to really hone in on that self-love and grow it stronger like a muscle.
I love how you started that conversation off, because I speak a lot to denial, because I've been in a lot of it. And it's so powerful. You know, we can be like, no, that's not, I'm good.
Yeah.
And like, really, when we deny something, we literally place it outside of our awareness. So we can't see it. It's like, nope, it doesn't exist. And, you know, when somebody says to us, well, maybe you should love yourself more. And we're like, what? No, that's not true. I totally love myself. I mean, that's already a red flag to us, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, I've done it so many times where I've denied things, and I've found that the energy of curiosity is much more powerful. Like, huh, is there anywhere that I don't love myself? Is there an aspect of my life that I don't hold a lot of gratitude, appreciation, reverence for myself, like your body, or like maybe how you show up in your career, or, you know, whatever. And really, like, being curious instead of that, like, yeah, that's just not true. Because it just shuts down the energy, doesn't it? And makes it not available to us.
Yes.
So after you went through this, What transpired?
I love that question. So after I went through this, well, I first off went in, okay, let me like the fixer in me, right? Let me heal right. these parts and fix myself. So then I will attract the man, the right man who will love me and he'll be emotionally unavailable. So at first, Laura, I actually went in with, I don't want to say the wrong intention, but I was still going about it from outside of myself. I'm like, let me fix myself and be secure and quote unquote healthy so then I can attract the right man. And so as I'm working on myself and I'm like, okay, is the right guy gonna appear? I was still attracting men who really weren't to my standards, but I looked at that as lessons and opportunities to really start to embody the new version of Mary. So to speak up, to speak my truth, to also then set boundaries, to have to let people down. I had such a big fear around saying no or hurting someone because I knew how it felt to be rejected. So I never wanted somebody else to feel that way. But these were all big lessons and opportunities along the way. So then really what transpired from doing all of this work was, wow, I am now a woman where I can walk into a room, I can light up the room, I can make eye contact, smile with people. But if someone also comes over and starts talking to me and I'm not enjoying the conversation, I know how to set a boundary and keep moving. I also transpired into where I feel safe to be seen. I feel safe to express my joy and express happiness. And a lot of, you know, a lot of the work that I do around had to do around emotions was, yeah, okay, let me feel the anger and the sadness and the pain. But then also I did struggle for a long time to actually feel and express the opposite end, that love and that joy and that happiness. So now I get to move through life of the lens of a full embodiment and of what that means for me. And embodiment means for me is really moving from a frequency of love, but moving from this frequency that I am important and I'm okay if people aren't okay with me. So it really transpired into me becoming the best version of myself for this season of my life, because again, I'm like, oh, I became the best version of myself, and then I'm gonna listen to this 5 years later and be like, oh, Mary, you didn't even know.
Yes, it is such a journey, and I really love how you brought up how in the process of it, right, you were still attracting the same men, and that was an opportunity. Because we tend to have this, well, I'm doing the work or I'm doing the things like show up, like, and then if it doesn't show up, we get discouraged and like, oh, this isn't working. Instead of, as you did so wonderfully, this is an opportunity, right? To have my boundaries. And I really want the women to hear this, because after my divorce, I started dating again. And you know, it's just interesting how there's a lot of misrepresentation online. And I would show up to some of these, you know, meetings, and I was like, wow, no, right? And there was no part of my body that was saying yes.
Yeah.
And so I just said, you know, I'm really grateful for your time and that you came and met me here today, but this isn't going to work for me. And so I need to just let this go. And I walked out on several dates right off the get-go, like maybe 10, 15 minutes in, like, no, this isn't working. Like, I'm going to go now. And I really just gave myself permission to do that.
Yes.
And, you know, did I hurt somebody? Maybe. You know, I tried very much to be very compassionate and really speak from my heart, because I was really grateful for their time. I was really grateful that they showed up.
Absolutely.
And simultaneously, I'm not going to sit there when I'm not having fun, I'm not enjoying myself, this is a big effing no for me.
Yes.
Just to people please, because I too was a people pleaser.
Yes.
So this is me saying, like, I'm not going to do that anymore. Like, I get to just say no.
Yes.
So I love how you brought that forward. I just want to empower the audience to be like, you can do that. You can say it from your heart. You can still draw that very clear line in the sand and turn around and leave.
Yes.
And what that does for your own conviction of yourself, because that's self-love, isn't it, ultimately? And it's that, oh, I do love myself. I love myself so much that I will not put myself through that, right? That's love.
Yes. I love that you added that.
I really love that you brought all of that forward, because I feel like it's so important to really see the full story. So we've talked a lot about your experience with it. What has been your experience with helping other women through this?
So other women, helping them through it, I tend to attract, you know, women who have a similar journey as me. But they see themselves as, you know, they're strong, they're independent. The idea of having a man in their life would be great, but they're also scared at the same time. And a lot of these women, you know, I would, to put a term to it, it's like, oh, I have commitment issues. Like, I'm just too committed. You know, I'd rather work on my business. Or, you know, we can also get so attached to, you know, working on ourselves in a sense that we just shut off from other people. So how I guide these women that come to me is, okay, well, you know, one, again, we're going to look at the types of men that you're attracting. Two, we're going to look at what's going on into your life, and I come about it from a place of balance. So to me, I say it's, you know, it's important as women to lead with your feminine energy, but be grounded in your masculine, because we need that structure. We need that support. So the first thing that I do with women is we actually look at their masculine energy first, and we're going to look at where they're not feeling safe or what their beliefs are around safety, and really hone in on their foundation. Because if you're a woman who is hyper independent, who is, you know, maybe competitive, you like to take on a lot, right? You have big goals and big dreams. But we're going to look at your energy, because most of the time you are moving from a place where your masculine energy needs healing first. So we're looking at, okay, how can we bring in safety? And then, so it makes shifting into the feminine energy a lot easier. And but the biggest thing for the women that I see is really honing in on that safety, bringing in safety within themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's through a lot of first bringing that, feeling that within yourself, because you have to understand your worth. So if you are not, like you mentioned, you're out on a date and you're not enjoying the conversation, you're like, okay, well, I'm a woman who embodies her self-worth. And yes, I can absolutely respect this person and their time. I even respect them so much that I know I'm not going to be into this, so I don't want to waste their time or mine.
Yeah.
And so bringing in that safety, that deep, deep sense of self-respect for yourself, is really the biggest thing that I see when women are coming to me, is because it's like, okay, well, let's first establish safety within yourself.
Yeah, I love that so much, because safety is huge. And I feel like it's one of those things that we don't understand actually how unsafe we feel until we start to go into that and realize, wow, actually, I'm feeling very unsafe. And that's where the walls come up, right? That's where the protection comes up. That's where I'm just going to pour myself into my business, or I don't need a man, or I'm so independent. All the things that we tell ourselves, because fundamentally, we don't feel safe. You alluded to what are the signs of an emotionally available man. So I think this would be a great way to end, of perhaps signs of emotionally unavailable and signs of emotionally available so that the audience has some tangible tips to, yeah, take their little list. They'll take Mary's list next time on their date and be like, oh, he checked the emotionally unavailable box. Sorry, dude, I'm out.
Yes, yes. Are we starting with emotionally unavailable first?
Let's do that. Yeah, okay. That'd be good.
Yeah, so a man who is emotionally unavailable, I mentioned this word earlier in the podcast, and this is a big one. Look at their level of patience. Because a man who is, well, so say secure, right, to not make it too confusing right now with emotionally unavailable and emotionally unavailable. So emotionally unavailable men, they're not patient. They don't have a lot of patience to give. And also notice how they are. You know, maybe he picks you up and he's driving and somebody cuts him off and he's like making a really big deal about it. That's one of my biggest turnoffs, is like, oh my gosh, like let it go. And that is, like, believe it or not, that small thing is really, really huge. And also notice how he is speaking to the people at the restaurant. Is he respecting the people that are around him? And also the second part is to really also notice how you're feeling. Do you feel like you are shrinking inside of your body? Do you feel like you are like you, and you feel it in your gut? You're like, something's not right about this dude. And so to just really take a moment to tune in with your body. But those are the three. There's so many, but those, just to have some tangible things for people part of this conversation, is to really notice his patience. Notice if the little, you know, maybe he doesn't pick you off, you pick you up and you're meeting him there. Notice if the little things set him off. And then also notice how he, his respect for others.
Yeah. And I love how you say how he makes you feel, right? Like, do you feel safe? Do you feel like, oh, you're opening up, you're expanding, or for some reason you're kind of contracting and pulling away? I love that so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And to then gear towards the happy middle. So I want to share too about one of the mistakes when I'm like, okay, I'm going to become emotionally unavailable, or I'm going to become emotionally available and I'm going to be vulnerable. So I would go on these dates with guys and, like, we just met and I'm like, okay, Mary, be vulnerable. Like, we're working on this. And I would be like, you know, I would overshare, like sharing, you know, when you're meeting someone, whether it's a potential partner, whether it's a person in your business or career or a friend, you're not going to tell every intimate detail about your life at once. It's, relationships are an onion. You are peeling back one layer at a time. But it is important to move with that progress. So I went being like, okay, like, let me just tell you everything. And I think a lot of times too, I see this in dating with both men and women, is when we think we're being vulnerable, most of the time you're actually leading with your insecurities. So when I was saying, oh, these are all my vulnerable aspects of what's going on in my life, it was from this insecure place of like, okay, will you love me? Will you accept me? So to then just start to move, it's important to move from a secure place. So, you know, if you're listening to this, start to think, okay, like, what am I in? And again, in this season, we're always, I can't say I'm 100% secure with everything about me in my life, because I would be lying, because we're always deepening the connection with ourselves. So what are you maybe feeling a little bit insecure about yourself? And before you start to make any sort of connections, really welcome that in with yourself. So then when you move into beginning to open up and be vulnerable, it's not from this like place where you're dumping on somebody. It's like, this is who I am. So to then move to, okay, security, attracting, what are some signs that we can look for attracting emotionally available men? is what I'm assuming you're gonna ask next. So it's important to really, the biggest thing that I can say is really to feel in your body, okay, to, as Alara already, you know, mentioned, is like, do I feel safe with this person? And do you know, do I feel safe in my body? But also some ways, some tangible things to look for, again, is pretty similar to the other ones, is, okay, is this man patient? And notice also the mannerisms and the way that the man is moving. You know, is he really, like, is he moving from a place, yeah, where you're locking eyes, he makes you feel like you're the only one there. And it's this, and you'll feel that in your body. So definitely look for, okay, yeah, if he is being patient with you, if he is also understanding. And, you know, a question that you could ask a guy is, you know, like, what is a challenge that you have gone through in your life and that you've overcome, or what lesson did you learn? And just kind of gauge to see, men aren't going to open up right away. But just kind of gauge to see of like, okay, how open is he into, you know, learning lessons and understanding of what he's been through, and really, with emotionally available men. Other things that, you know, secure guys I like to look for is, okay, are they picking me up at the time that they said they would pick me up? Are they, you know, they're not late. There's someone that I can rely on. He says he's going to be here at this time, this place, and he's there. So, you know, are they also acting in alignment? Their actions are in alignment with their words. So they're not just saying these things, but they're also doing it. So those are some small things around how actions, and what to notice his actions. Is he planning the date, the next date while you're on that date? Is he also like complimenting you and saying, you know, I'd love to see you again? So those are some tips also to look out for.
Yeah, I loved where you said looking you in the eye and making you feel like you're the only person in the room, because that's presence, isn't it? Where somebody is embodied, they're in their body, which you cannot be in your body if emotions are uncomfortable for you. Yes. And so if they are sitting there calmly looking you in the eye, and it, like, the room melts away, right? And there's just the two of you. And he's able to hold that space with you, right? He's not like looking around, you know, talking about one topic and then switching to another. And, you know, his eyes are darting all over the place and he's kind of asking you questions, but he's kind of distracted.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I thought that was a really powerful point. I really love how you brought that in. And I think all of those were really clear and just like some things, right? Because we don't want this long list. We want a couple of things that we can really remember and grab onto. Otherwise, they will really be taking Mary's list to to the date. writing it on the inside of their hand or something like that. So, yeah, that was really beautiful, Mary. Thank you so much. So how can people reach out to you, find you, connect with you?
Yeah. So if you enjoyed this conversation and maybe you have some questions, send me a message on Instagram at MaryMC4. And, you know, let me know what you took away or whatever questions that you have around dating and maybe the kinds of men that you're attracting. And then also my podcast, which Alara was a guest on, the Living Your True Vibe podcast, where on there we have amazing guests like Alara herself, and just have other experts talking about all things spirituality, healing, self-development, personal growth. So it's just a really awesome community. So those are the ways to come connect with me. Say hi.
Yeah, so wonderful. And I invite the listeners to do that and to check out your podcast, because we can always have like several podcasts in our back pocket that we're kind of pulling from at different times. And
oh, yeah.
So good to hear different perspectives and different people speak, even if they have the same, you know, theme, so to speak. So absolutely. And to the listeners, you know, there are so many women that could benefit from this conversation. I would even dare to say there's men who could benefit from this conversation as well.
Yeah.
You know, understanding what it means for a woman to experience an emotionally unavailable man, but vice versa, because it goes both ways. As we both know, I was emotionally unavailable as well. And so the men can take these tidbits as well, but they can also understand, oh, like, this is how I need to show up. You know, I need to show up. If I want to attract the right woman, I need to show up as an emotionally available man. So, yes, share this episode and share Mary's wonderful wisdom and experience with others so that we can all benefit from her and her beautiful story. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here and being a part of the Ecstatic Woman. It means so very much to me. I always say that without the listeners, this wouldn't exist. So we need you, and we appreciate you, and we love you. And I truly hope that this has brought you some activation, some inspiration, something you can take forth into your life. Until next time, I love you all so very much.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.